From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Today, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton arrived at the climate talks in Copenhagen. She announced that the U.S. will help raise $100 billion for poor countries to cope with climate change. That announcement injected new energy into the stalled talks, which end this weekend. In a moment, we'll hear from the head of the U.S. negotiating team, Todd Stern.
First, if you've gotten lost in all the procedural wrangling in Copenhagen, we have a simple way for you to look at the problem. Dealing with climate change really boils down to one thing. The world needs to put a price on something you can't see, can't smell, and something no one wants. From Copenhagen, David Kestenbaum of NPR's Planet Money team explains.
In the financial world, there are markets for corn, coffee, hogs, and if the countries of the world agree to a climate deal, there could be a huge market for carbon dioxide, or rather, permits to emit carbon dioxide. There's actually a small market now, and by small I mean $100 billion a year, but it could grow to trillions.
It is a strange idea. It's not a soybean market. We're not creating a market for soybeans. It's a created market.
Janet Peace is an economist with the Pew Center on Global Climate Change. The problem right now is that, at least in the U.S., emitting carbon is free. Power plants, factories, us driving our cars, we can put as much as we want into the atmosphere. It's damaging the environment, but that cost, it does not show up in the price of anything. So when you hear about cap and trade proposals or carbon taxes, that's all really about one idea.
We're trying to include or put back in that price so people think about that price when they make their decisions, when they look at what kind of factory they want to build in the future, when they look at what kind of car they might want to buy in the future.
Now, this is not a new idea. In 1995, to combat acid rain, the U.S. basically put a price on a different gas, sulfur dioxide. If you own a coal plant, you're going to need a pollution permit for each ton of sulfur dioxide. There are a limited number of permits. And Europe already has created a market for greenhouse gas permits, carbon permits, though the market had a rocky start a few years ago. Dirk Forrester works for a company called NatSource, which has a carbon trading desk.
The carbon price was chugging along at about, it was rising up above 30 euros a ton. I mean, that's like $40, $50 a ton. That was a pretty serious price.
But then the market for pollution permits totally crashed.
So eventually those became worthless if you were holding very many of those. So thankfully we were not.
And this is a peculiar thing about these kinds of artificial markets. The price of oranges depends on the weather and the growing season. The price of carbon, it depends in part on the government. The government sets how many pollution permits are out there. Forrester says that was a test period and the kinks have been worked out. Today, for instance, carbon pollution permits traded for $20 a ton. The price was higher when the climate talk started, but it went down as the prospects for a deal dimmed. Carbon markets have some potential problems, though. I found a sign that illustrated one nicely here. A protester outside was holding it. It was a rally, and the sign was handwritten. The letters were all different sizes. At first, I thought he'd left a word off.
Hey, can I talk to you while you're dancing?
Sure.
You can keep dancing if you want.
It's hard to talk, though.
Woo! Tell me what your sign says.
It says, emission is not a good.
Shouldn't it be emission is not a good thing?
No, emission is not a good as like you cannot sell it or buy it.
Ah.
George Feit, that's his name, he was actually objecting to the idea of carbon credits for trees. And that's a major issue in these huge international talks. If carbon has a price, trees become more valuable because trees suck up carbon. So maybe it makes sense to pay people in Indonesia not to cut down their forest. But the accounting for trees is actually pretty complicated. And the concern is this could be a place for what amounts to tax evasion. We end up paying people for their forests, but delay dealing with the problems at home, like coal plants and cars. David Kestenbaum, NPR News, Copenhagen.